It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Booyah. Welcome back to Money for Lunch. This is kind of our weekend edition. It's a fun time here at Money for Lunch. We have a great show lineup for you today. And my first guest is exciting. I was just talking to her right before the show started. And she's just, I think, a lovely bundle of energy. Sarah Newton is a leading youth expert with over 25 years experience in this field. She has shared her innovative wisdom with millions who have tuned in into her TV and radio shows, followed her writing, and listened to her unconventional talks. She has been described as a catalyst, daring all she meets to break out from the social norms and follow their own path. She can often be found wearing a superhero cape, talking about the Hunger Games and using the metaphor of story to get messages across. Sarah Newton, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Thank you. I sound really cool.
Oh, yeah. Well, so let's talk about this. First of all, what is a youth expert?
You know, it's interesting because people ask me what I am, and I ask them what day of the week it is, really, because I talk about youth, I work with youth, I write about youth. You know, I write novels about young people. I do everything to do with youth. But I think what I do mainly is sort of watch what's going on in the world of youth and think about where we might be going and what that means for businesses, for the world in general. So I think if it comes under the youth banner, I consider myself, I guess, an expert in it because I've been around them for so long now.
You've been accepted as one of their own.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, I've just had a birthday. I am now 47, but I think they think I'm sort of 15, or maybe I still act 15. Maybe that's the key. So I spend a lot of time with a lot of young people just kind of figuring out what's going on in their worlds and what they need from the adults in their lives and from society, really.
Let me ask you this, speaking of what they need, what do you think they need? What would be like the number one or maybe number two thing that you would think that our youth today need?
Well, there's quite a theme coming out at the moment, actually, and I think what's happened is the technology that they've grown up with has made them super creative. And in the UK, a lot of that creativity they have is actually being sort of labelled, you know, as anxiety, as depression, as all sorts of other things. And I think what they probably need at the moment is for us to start understanding that they don't actually fit the norms that we used to, and that we might need to change and shift how we think about lots and lots of things for this creative generation that are emerging. But mostly, I think they want to be listened to and treated, you know, just with respect, like I think every human being wants, but we tend to do things to young people because they're younger than us and we seem to think we've got some sort of superiority over them, I think.
Right, right. Well, you know what's so funny to me is that I think every, quote, older generation, our generation, has always put down the younger generation. That's just what it is, you know. No matter what era you look at, the young people are, you know, they're too young. They don't know what they're doing. I can't believe that they're going to take over the world. What are we going to do? They're not as responsible as we are. They don't work as hard as we do. They do things differently. Those complaints have been around forever. I remember my parents saying that about my generation and so on. And so I think that, yes, there are some exceptions in the sense that we have more technology and things of that nature. But I think that's just, I don't know, it seems like it's part of evolution that the old farts have to complain about the young ones, right?
Well, yeah, I think that is true. But I think what is really interesting about this generation, and obviously people that are a little bit older than them, is that they now have platforms, as in the media and the websites and social media, to actually air their voice without, you know, the adults needing to supervise that. So I think that, you know, whereas before we would have this, oh, the youth of today, the youth of today, the youth of today, now the youth of today are not sitting quiet in their own little sort of gangs. You know, they're talking, they're out there and they're changing things. And I think that that does make the dynamic slightly different. It's like we can't keep ignoring them because they've got a voice that we never had, I think, as children.
Yes. No, and I think that aspect of it is true, absolutely. All right, let's talk about this. You were interviewed, you were profiled in a book called Choices for Change, and let's talk about this a little bit. When you received the request to be in the book, the best practices of confident entrepreneurs is what this book focuses on, what was your first reaction?
Well, I know Sheila really well, the lady who wrote it, so my first reaction was yes, and then I think I went into a mild panic and thought, oh my gosh, she thinks I'm confident. And then, you know, and actually I don't even feel like an entrepreneur, I just get up and do what I want. So I think it was like this joyous yes, then filled with this like dread that actually, oh, okay, now I've got to actually talk about what it is to be confident. And am I even confident? Because I think it's one of those words that's quite loaded. So
yes.
Joy and dread all at once.
That's funny. Yes, yes. It's funny. I'm glad you put it like that because it's so, it's so common for us to, sometimes, what's the word I'm looking for? Kind of second guess our knowledge and our expertise, you know, and I like this idea of, am I confident? Sometimes we don't really ask that question. But let's talk about this because you've been an entrepreneur for a while. What role has confidence played in your entrepreneurial career?
That's really interesting because for me, it's almost, I never ever, even now I sit there and think, I don't think of myself as a confident person. I think for me, it's that I haven't let the lack of confidence stop me. I was a police officer for a while before I spent about 10 years in the police working with young people. And I think what the police allow me to do is get very, very brave and not let anything, you know, stop me. So I think that what happens in the entrepreneurial world is a lot of entrepreneurs wait to feel confident before they do anything. And I don't think that ever arrives. No,
yes.
Sorry to say that, but I'm not sure we ever get to that point where we go, oh my God, I'm super confident, it's all cool, it's all great. And I think it's that we don't let it stop us, that we acknowledge that we may not, most of the time, because, you know, we work alone, a lot of us feel 100% confident, but we just have to not let it stop us. And sometimes we need to fake it till we make it.
I agree with you. I think waiting to get the confidence is a myth, or it's a mistake at the very least. You have to sometimes feel the fear and do it anyway, so to speak. And I think that, you know, we were talking about young people in the very beginning of the show. I think that's one of the things that I see a lot of young people struggle with. You know, they're trying to figure out who they are, and so, you know, they're going through those awkward teenage years, and I think confidence is one of those things that most young people don't have until they start identifying who they are and what they want to be and things of that nature. It's an ebb and flow kind of characteristic.
Yeah, and I think it's a little bit of a myth as well, confidence. It's like this sort of a thing we always allude to outside ourselves, and we look at somebody who we think is like uber confident and say, oh, that's what I want to be like. But if you went and spoke to that person that looked uber confident and said, are you confident? I can guarantee they probably would say, no, not all the time.
Right.
I think it's something we don't talk about, honestly. You know, we think we can reach for it and that it, but I think it is a bit mystical and mythical, and actually all we have to do is feel okay to take action right now.
Yes, no, I agree with that. I totally agree with that. I think the reason that confidence is always changing is because as an individual, we are always changing. I mean, you know, for example, you know, in this book here, you were asked to provide some resources for this book. Well, that might be slightly out of your comfort zone. So you have to, like, you know, check your confidence on your willingness to mm-hmm. do that, or get on a TV show or a radio show, or, you know, maybe take the next step into whatever you're going to do, whether it's in your business or maybe make some changes in your, you know, whatever, in your personal life or your business life. Anytime you go to make a change, there's always a push against your level of confidence.
Absolutely. And, you know, and I so believe that we should be doing something every day that scares us a little.
Yes, I like that.
You know, because at least then we're alive and we're living and we're doing it. And actually, you know, being comfortable and not feeling scared is actually, I think, a really dangerous place to be, particularly for an entrepreneur.
Yes. No, I agree with that. I like that idea of we should try to scare ourselves on a consistent basis. Sarah, hold on one second. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be back right after this.
Welcome back to Geico Radio. It's savings on the radio.
Caller Steve, go right ahead.
Yeah, I just got a free rate quote on geico.com. Saved a ton, and it only took me 5 minutes and 12 seconds. I was wondering, is that some sort of record?
That's a good question. Then let's have a look.
Not quite. Someone's got you beat by 8 seconds.
Still, I mean, that's quite fast.
Well, what if I told you I only use one hand?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
All right, we're back. We're speaking with Sarah Newton. She's a youth expert. She works with young people, and she's been doing this for over 25 years. We're talking about confidence. She was recently profiled in a book called Choices for Change, and we're talking about confidence and how maybe confidence isn't what you necessarily need to wait for, right? In other words, if we all wait around to be confident, then we never get anything done. So whether or not you're confident, you do it anyway. Let me ask you this, because speaking of confidence, as business people, you know, we're always, you know, our confidence sometimes is invested on how well our business is doing, right? So if our business is doing good, hey, we feel life is pretty good. We feel confident. So as an entrepreneur, you know, what would you say to somebody who might be struggling to grow financially and gain more influence? What piece of advice would you give them?
Well, I think it's, you know, it's always very, very different for everybody. But I always think when we're entrepreneurs, we should be looking at, you know, two sort of lines. We should be looking at the line we've got financially, but also, you know, the line of the impact we've made that day. And, you know, if we've just sent one tweet out that day and it's gone to 10 people and 10 people have learned something about us, then that's an impact that we've had. So I think sometimes the things that we judge ourselves on are too harsh. But I think the main piece of advice that I would probably give them is just to be yourself and do it your own way. Because I think that when we throw away what everyone tells us to do and we just go, what do I want to do and how do I want to do it? That is when I think we sort of step into our own greatness. Because there's so much, you know, advice out there and so much do it this way, do it that way. But I think that we just have to turn up and be ourselves and keep going, because we never know. We never know when that tipping point is, and
right.
We might just give up before it happens.
Well, and what I like about what you're saying there is you're right. Sometimes we measure ourselves by only one stick, one measuring stick, and that is, hey, how much money do I have in the bank? Oh, I don't have any money in the bank, so I'm doing a bad job. I'm a bad person. I'm a bad business owner, whatever. As opposed to, well, what impact have I had? You know, and so you're right. Maybe you can look at the fact that, hey, you may not have a lot of money in the bank, but you're currently employing, you know, several people. You're impacting your customers. You can look at the impact you're having on, you mentioned social media. That's a great idea. There's a lot of junk out there. So if you put something out there on Facebook or on Twitter that impacts 5-10 people and, you know, they like it, you've uplifted those individuals. It may not put money in your bank, but it does add to your fulfillment. You just added value to somebody's life.
Well, exactly. You know, and if I may have not made any money in one day, but I've spoken to a young person that was thinking about committing suicide, how can I say I've not made an impact? You know,
right.
that day. And you know, I always think, you know, have I saved someone today? You know, that's one of my kind of things, because the reason I started my business was because of a young person I worked with in the police that took his life. So for me, it's always like, have I saved someone today? Or have I given someone some information that's going to really, you know, help them have a better relationship with a young person? And I've done my job. That's okay.
Yes. I like that. So, all right, so here you were. Let's back up a little bit. Here you are. You're a police officer. In where is this? When you're a police officer, you're in what city?
I was in London.
London, okay. And so fairly large city, right? I mean, one of the biggest cities in the world. So what made you go from being a police officer to getting involved with the young people? Was it the suicide or was there something else?
Well, when I was in the police, I did spend about 6 years working with young offenders at risk and risk of offending. And I think when that young person took his life, I began to realise what we were doing wasn't working correctly. You know, if we were trying to help these kids not offend and they were taking their own lives, we were not helping them. So I started to ask sort of slightly different questions, like, you know, what's important to you? What do you want in your life? And all them kind of wonderful coaching questions.
Right.
And we saw some great results, like the reoffending rate went down from 35 to 3%. You know, all this really great stuff was happening, but no one could quantify what I was doing, and neither could I, really. I didn't know. And I got told to go back and do it the old way, and I just couldn't. And so I sort of upped and left and tried to figure out what I wanted to do and how I could take what I was doing in the police and make a business out of it. Because I was just, you know, it's like my soul couldn't go back and do this stuff I knew wasn't working. And
yeah,
so,
no.
I'm a bit risky. I think most entrepreneurs are, I think.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that entrepreneurs are optimistic, and therefore that's why they're willing to take that risk, right? We feel that we're going to be successful in that venture, otherwise we wouldn't do it. Sarah Newton, it's been a blast having you on the show. It's been a blast talking about confidence. I want to wish you the best of luck as you go out there and change the lives of these young people. TheYouthExpert.com, TheYouthExpert.com is where you can go and find out more about Sarah Newton and her team. Again, Sarah, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you very much. I loved it.
You bet. Good stuff there. Great way to start your day with Sarah Newton and thinking about confidence and also the impact that we have on people. I like what she said there, you know, about the impact that we have on people. Am I doing what I want to do? And so maybe if you're dissatisfied with your current career, maybe it's time to ask some questions and find out which way you need to go. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And then we're going to come back. We're going to be talking to a couple of gentlemen about automating your hiring process right after this.
Did you bring the camera phone?
I did.
Do you want to go first?
I've been waiting for this all day.
Okay, this is Fro
and Stacy.
Introducing Chase Quick Deposit. Just photograph the front and back of your check using the Chase mobile app on your iPhone and hit send.
It went through?
So cool.
This is so cool.
You want to try it?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, it was nice.
Make a deposit from anywhere, anytime with your iPhone.
To Mr. and Mrs. Walker, why would they send my parents a check?
Chase what matters.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
All right, we're back. I was I'm not 100% sure how I got a hold of these guys, but I think it could have been on Facebook or on Twitter or something. And so they were talking about automating your hiring process, and it really caught my attention. I thought, I got to talk to these guys, figure out what this is all about. Mark Hobbs is the technical director, and Brett Marlowe is the sales manager for Integra. And Integra is a talent acquisition platform created from the necessity to improve all areas of the recruitment process. They want to create an ecosystem of technologies that enhance and speed up the recruitment process whilst reducing the administrative burden. Integra will integrate with third-party technology solutions such as video interviewing, skill testing, and background screening, to name a few. Brett Marlowe and Mark Hobbs, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Hi, Brett. I'm Mark. Hi, Brett. This is Brett.
Hey, guys. Good to have you here. So all right. So let's talk about Integra. Integra, is this just for only enterprise type companies, or what are we talking about? Tell me a little bit about the platform.
The platform, Brett, is suitable for all organizations, small, medium business, right up to enterprise level customers.
Love it. I love it. So again, a startup to a major company can use it. And so let's dive into this. When we talk about automating the recruitment process, what does that mean? Tell me your idea of what that means.
Yeah, I guess from our perspective, but it's not about trying to take out the human element within the recruitment process, which is obviously critical. Machines are never going to replace the judgment calls that humans can make. But it's about being able to, where we can, automate parts of the process that at the moment companies are wasting huge amounts of time and money, being able to manage those processes manually, if you like. So it's looking at a company's recruitment process and saying, what are the stages you take a candidate through when bringing candidates on board, and actually sensibly which parts of those processes can be automated.
A lot of recruiters nowadays, Bert, they sit paper shuffling CVs and wasting time on unnecessary mailing, or they don't mail at all, which can have an effect on the company's brand in the future and applications from candidates. They kind of, if you don't communicate with them, they won't want to come back to you. And it could affect, you know, they might not want to come into store and purchase from customers too.
Sure, sure. Absolutely. If they have a bad experience with the company, you know, they're going to talk about it, on social media or Yelp or whatever, and talk about their experience. Well, let's talk about this. I want to get your opinion on this. When it comes to recruitment technology or hiring technology, is America on track? Are we leading the pack? Are we behind? Tell me.
From our experience, in terms of we're dealing regularly with American organizations of all sizes, the feedback we get when we show those companies the Integra solution tends to be that they haven't seen anything like it to date, and that it appears to be fairly revolutionary, which you know, we hope it is, or we believe it is, but it just seems to be we get more often that feedback when we're talking to U.S.-based companies.
Gotcha. All right, so let's talk about this real quick. What are the most effective means of bringing in a new recruit or a new talent in today's technology environment?
This is one of those things that obviously I think the challenge for hiring managers and HR managers today is that there's so much choice now, particularly with the likes of social media, obviously job boards or, you know, traditional online advertising sources. And then you've got your recruitment agencies, your referrals, lots of ways of trying to attract candidates. I think the challenge for hiring managers and HR managers is how do you go about making the decision of what is an effective recruitment campaign, on how do we go about, both from a time perspective and a financial perspective, getting the best quality candidates in the shortest period of time. You know, we understand it's a real challenge because obviously there are other elements that HR managers have to do within their job that isn't just about recruiting candidates. So the purpose of Integra as a solution is to try and, I suppose, manage some of those steps for them and give them not only the ability to be able to get roles out to those various sources quickly and easily, but actually measure the success of those sources in a way that allows them to make decisions about, well, yes, that is a cost-effective route for us, because we can actually see that not only do we get volumes of applications from that, we actually place candidates from those applications.
And I think every organization, Bert, is different. Every market
sure.
is different. Some customers or businesses will find that social media works really well. Some will find referrals work really well. Some have to go down the job board route. What we find is our technology enables them to harness all those sources into one solution and then process those candidates effectively.
I like that. I like that. Let me ask you this. I'm going to back up a little bit, and let's talk about candidate communications, because it seems to me that really the candidate communication is almost a one-way street, right, where the candidate who's looking for the job will contact the company numerous times. A lot of companies do not return back communication. It's either, hey, we got your application, thank you so much, we'll be in touch, and that's all you hear. Why do companies forget about this candidate communication? I mean, is it unimportant? What's your take on this?
I think it comes down to the time factor. You know, again, certainly with most companies, they get such a high volume of response to the vacancies that being able to respond to candidates in a personal way seems like a difficult challenge to them. And I think when we're out there and we're talking to the candidates as well as the employers, it is probably the biggest negative comment we get back from candidates is the frustration of sending, you know, an application and starting that recruitment process and then not hearing anything at all. And it could be, you know, days, weeks, months before they even get a very sort of generic thanks but no thanks kind of message. So for us, this is one of the key elements when we've kind of come up with the concept of the Integra platform, is saying, well, candidates are a really important part of the recruitment process, probably the most important part of that process. And it's therefore really important that they feel that they're being loved. They feel that, they're getting regular communications. And again, if we look at how the world has changed and look at technology as it is, there isn't a lot of excuse anymore for not being able to communicate with people, whether it's via phone, email, SMS, social media. There's lots of ways that you can send these messages out there. And again, using the right kind of technology today, it's possible to communicate with candidates with a level of automation involved that still feels to the candidate that it's personal, it's bespoke, that, it's a one-off message that they're receiving from a human.
Right. Some of these organisations are missing out also because they may post a job and they may receive thousands of applications. They don't go back to these applicants. And later on, they get another position, which may be suitable. But they go back to the talent pool, but the talent pool isn't interested because they didn't communicate to them right in the first place. They found other work. If they communicated effectively initially, they can carry on marketing to the talent pool throughout their duration of job search. And even 6 months down the line, they may see a job that they are interested in. And because they've been communicated to, they feel they understand the ethos of the company. They're more likely to consider reapplying for a role in the future.
Yes, yes. And I want to mention this real quick. I apologize. I can't really tell who said the word bespoke, but that to me is a very, British word there, bespoke. If I'm not mistaken, that means custom, right? I mean, you want to get
correct.
A bespoke message,
sorry,
a customized message out there?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the thing. So it's the messages that can go out, even via automation, can still be customized to the candidate so that they feel that the message has been written specifically to them.
All right, so let me ask you this. Here you guys are, you have this fantastic system. It's going to help automate. Do you get a lot of concerns from HR people like, you know, hey, you guys may be taking away my job? Is that a possibility? How are HR people responding to Integra?
Really well, Bert. I think the key for HR now is we're in a competitive marketplace. There are lots of jobs out there. In the UK, there's lots of jobs and not enough candidates. So they want to focus more time on retaining the candidates when they employ them. If they spend less time doing administration, there's cost savings there for them, but they can also spend their energy on retaining their workers in their workforce, training them effectively, and having better productivity in the workplace.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things what I'm talking to HR managers is they get such a high volume of responses to vacancies that it's not even possible to screen all of those candidates, never mind respond to the candidates. So, you know, with the Integra platform, it's almost is giving them the ability to look across the whole audience of candidates to make sure that the ones they are engaging with are the ones that, you know, the best quality candidates, shall we say.
Yeah, no, I like that. You know, and something else that I've never even considered until I started looking into Integra is that you guys really push this phrase called recruitment branding or recruitment brand, because as we mentioned earlier, how this is a form of communication, it's a form of marketing too, because if somebody has a good experience with the recruitment process, whether they're hired or not, they're more apt to, as you mentioned, come back and apply again, say good things about the company. If they have a bad experience, they're not only are they not going to reapply, but they're probably going to tell their friends, these guys are a bunch of jerks. So the thought of expanding your brand through this recruitment experience is a different mindset, and I think it's one that a lot of companies don't even think about.
Yeah. It's something for us that certainly in the UK at the minute, recruitment brand is something that's being used as a buzzword more often when I'm out with visits with clients, and it's something that's being mentioned more often than certainly I've come across it before. I'd be interested, I suppose, to understand whether that's a thing in the US, whether companies are using the term recruitment brand. But I suppose when you think about it, it's like any part of your business. Obviously, companies, when they're trying to sell a product, very seriously consider the brand of the business and the brand of the product. And when you start applying that within recruitment, it makes a lot of sense. Like we said before, companies are being tasked with bringing in the best quality candidates at the lowest cost.
Right.
If you've built your recruitment brand and you've got candidates that maybe haven't even successfully, gained a role with the business, but had a good experience throughout the recruitment process, they're going to go away and talk to their peers and colleagues and friends and, you know, who might be the next right candidate for that role or for that company. So it's definitely something that companies now are starting to consider and think about. How do we build that recruitment brand?
And I think it comes back to some organisations' ethics that say, you know, treat people how you expect to be treated. Don't leave them hanging on. If someone has a bad experience, that has implications. It costs a lot of money to build up a good brand and a good reputation. It can be destroyed in seconds.
Yes, yes. And I like what you said there. Treat people like you want to be treated. And in today's technology environment, sometimes that is forgotten, right? I mean, it's as you've already mentioned, these companies get tens of thousands of people applying for one position. It's easy for the company to say, hey, we're not, you know, we're only going to respond to the people that we're interested in. Let me ask you this from an HR manager standpoint of view. What percentage of their time is spent dealing with hiring process or the recruitment process? Is recruiting their only focus, or should it be their only focus? What's your take? A couple of questions there in one.
Yeah, certainly not the HR managers that I talk to. You know, recruitment should be one smaller part of their workload, obviously, in terms of managing the workforce and internal issues and supporting managers in terms of how they go about growing the business from a resource perspective is key to their roles as well. But inevitably, in terms of where the bulk of their team's time seems to be spent, it is filtering CVs, it's responding to candidates, all those things that we've talked about already in terms of things that are labor intensive but actually not particularly productive, because they're things that we believe and we can prove and show that through our experience that you can take away some of those time costly elements and write them into a customized process where you're saving yourself significant amounts of time to buy back time to focus on those other important issues that you've got to deal with day to day.
Some organisations we talk to, Bert, they don't have career pages. They still receive CVs into their email inbox, and they could be receiving thousands and thousands and thousands, and they don't get looked at. Their email box gets clogged up. They then start missing customers because, again, email overload. And in this day and age, there's no real excuse. The technology is out there to become more efficient. We've got Outlook, we've got our calendars that keep us organised. Integra is an extension of your office to help you be better positioned to carry out more work and really engage with your employees where it counts.
Yeah, and you know what? The thing that I like most about our conversation today, Brett and Mark, is that first, HR departments really should stop looking at these candidates as just numbers, treat them how they would want to be treated, and respect people enough to interact with them and say, hey, you know, we got your resume or we got your CV, thank you so much. Right now, we don't have a position for you. Please check back with us. I like this concept of brand recruitment. That to me seems like a real thing because people are making decisions how they're treated by a company's recruitment process. I love that thinking. To me, it's a strategy most people don't think about. And this idea of recruitment branding or brand is something that I think will take hold eventually here as well as you said, it's already taking a hold there in the UK. I like this idea. I like this Integra concept. And the company again is Integra. It's integra.com. If you guys want to check more about it and see if it's a good fit for your company, Brett and Mark, I want to say thank you so much for stopping by. It's been a pleasure.
No problem.
And looking to, you know, we'll have you back again to talk more about hiring.
Great stuff. Thanks, Bert.
You bet. Good stuff there about your hiring process, your recruitment process, and more importantly, your brand during this process. Can Integra help automate your systems? It sounds like it might be a possibility. You guys ought to check them out. As always, it's good to have you guys here on the show. It's my pleasure to be able to bring you guys the most innovative strategies for business as well as life and health. One of the things I love so much about Money for Lunch is the fact that we're supported by you guys. You guys send us show ideas. You communicate with me on Facebook and on Twitter. Now I'm available on Instagram. You guys have great ideas for guests. And so it's always a pleasure to hear from you guys. I want to thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. And as always, remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.